Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista.
Well, happy almost Christmas.
Yay, it's Christmas time.
Yay. Well, it's our Christmas vacation, and we're kicking that off today with our last episode before the big day.
Yay. I'm a huge Christmas nerd, so I'm very excited about this.
So, whatever you celebrate, a very happy holiday season. Yeah. And it's also the shortest day of the year when
this
is going to be released. So hopefully you get your minimal amounts of vitamin D in. And we're looking forward for it. It's going to be dark by four.
Pretty crazy. Much. I mean, it's dark by four now, so, you know.
But you're excited because that means you just get to see more Christmas
lights. That's right. Exactly. Exactly. It makes it so much better. I'm all about the positivity here.
So, we always kick off every show with two little traditions. This week, what is your nerd thing that you're doing this week?
Okay, well, my big nerd thing is it's Christmas.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's Christmas, so I'm doing total Christmas nerd. We are recording this wearing Christmas sweaters right now, and Brandon has a Yoda that says, "The season to be jolly it is." It's adorable. Mm. Exactly. And I have a Nightmare Before Christmas one on. And Brandon is wearing a Santa hat with his favorite hockey team on it, which is the Toronto Maple Leafs. Because that's very Canadian of you, actually.
That's right.
This moment right here. And I have an elf hat and it jingles, so if you can hear jingling. So I'm very, like, into it's Christmas. I'm full out Christmas nerding right now. And then I just wanted to mention one quick thing, that we are watching something on Disney Plus that I was very into recently, so it's like a sub nerd thing. Short Circuit. We hadn't watched any of those shorts before, and we watched
a little collection of short films, experimental
in
nature.
So my big nerd thing is Christmas, but like that was just, it really stuck out to me as something we watched this week in between Christmas movie viewings.
Well, I haven't had much of time to do any real nerd things other than the usual computer time. Because we've been watching so many Christmas movies to cram for this episode. So that, I guess that's what I've been doing.
Yeah. So that's your nerd thing then too.
Yeah. And well, I'm also still at my big whiskey nerd thing, which is what I'm drinking today. A nice Bowmar 12-year-old single malt.
And what do you think?
It's pretty good.
It's
a classic. It's apparently the oldest distillery that's still operating in the Islay region of Scotland.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're really enjoying your whiskey calendar still.
It's a nice little exploration of different types of whiskey. And
you know what, though? Speaking of advent calendars, I'm kind of sad that we're almost at the end of our advent calendar season.
Yeah. Five days left.
Yeah.
Or four. Some of them are 24 because they take you to Christmas Eve. And I prefer an advent calendar that goes all 25, right? You get your last one on Christmas Day.
That's pretty rare, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Both your Lego one and my Marvel Pop one go till the 24th.
Right.
And then your whiskey one goes to the 25th. So you're going to have a Christmas morning whiskey.
That's right.
Christmas afternoon whiskey.
No, morning.
Oh, okay. Are you going to replace your Christmas morning beer with Christmas morning whiskey?
No.
You're going to have both?
I'm just going to be a happy, jolly elf.
There's going to be lots of Christmas cheer.
Yes.
So that's what you're drinking. I made homemade hot chocolate on the stovetop. This is part of my festivities going on.
Yeah.
And it has peppermint vodka in it as well.
That is very festive.
Yes.
Of you.
So it is very festive drink. Homemade hot chocolate with peppermint vodka. I made the chocolate quite strong. So
very chocolatey.
Very chocolatey. It's basically like drinking a chocolate bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That brings us our last Mandalorian episode. Gut reaction, no spoilers. And this one was like being the last episode of the season and everything like that. Gut reaction, what'd you think?
Well, they are doing what they did for Marvel in Star Wars now. They've got plot threads all over the place. They got post-credit sequences. And wow, it's just, it smacks you in the face and it doesn't let go.
Yep.
It's wonderful.
It was wonderful. You're really happy?
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, it was quite the
And they
episode.
Also can keep some damn secrets.
Holy smokes. Well, I mean, why are we... They kept Baby Yoda
exactly.
a secret. Like, that's
like,
crazy.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah. In today's age of, you know, internet and how do they do it? Okay. Well, that brings us to the news. Disney A News Update.
Is there any news left?
I know, after that investors call that we talked about last episode, you know, not really, but found some stuff. Mostly it was, you know, that was all the big news. And then, you know, everyone is just like happy holiday type things at the parks and everything like that.
What can be open at the parks these days? Well, yeah.
Exactly. So just like a couple of things. The one was, of course, just notice that, you know, it was the last episode of Mandalorian season 2. And there was a lot of stuff trending about it, including best Star Wars. That phrase was trending. I don't think they meant the original holiday special.
Oh.
I think it had to do with Mandalorian.
Right. Okay, so, that makes sense.
Yeah, not the original holiday special. So that was just one thing, just, you know, big news. And then the other one was, you know, Soul is coming out on the 25th.
Yes, Christmas present for everybody.
Exactly. Especially since no one can leave the house anyway. Well, the next day on Boxing Day for us in Canada, and the cast and filmmakers are going to be on Twitter, and they're going to be doing a special virtual red carpet celebration.
Oh,
so
that's cool.
Yeah, you're sitting around eating leftovers. Jump on Twitter and see what's up about that.
Neat.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool.
That's fun.
Absolutely. So I'm looking forward to that movie. I think it'll be good.
Yeah, that should be fun. I mean, they do good work these days, so.
Yeah. So kind of sparse news after last week.
Yes, well, I mean, we had basically an entire episode about news,
yes.
So.
Yeah, that's
you kind of, you have all that. Yeah, there's going to be a little bit of a downturn after
exactly,
that.
Exactly. Okay. And that brings us to our main topic for this week.
Disney Plus and chill.
It's holiday time. Okay, so our main topic, we said we were talking all about the Christmas movies and the holiday movies available on Disney Plus. And there's a lot of them.
There is a lot. We're going to stick to main entries in a franchise, like the first one.
Yep.
We do have a theatrical release. Theatrical release is even though one of them on here I was surprised was a theatrical release.
Yeah, maybe not.
Speaking ahead of turn, and we did include one remake, but that's because they're both pretty up there on the list anyway.
Yeah,
so.
They're pretty classics. Before we get to that, a few other things on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
To point out, if you're feeling Christmassy, there used to be a Frozen collection on there. There's not a whole collection anymore, but the Frozen movies and shorts are pretty Christmassy. So
generally,
putting that in there.
Yeah. Scandinavian, and then they have like specific Christmas specials.
Exactly. Well, and Frozen itself is often considered, just because it's so wintry and everything like that.
Well, it is on our list.
Festive. It is.
Yeah.
There is a Mighty Ducks collection now. And
there's ice involved.
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
There is a Home Alone collection where you can watch all the Home Alone movies.
There is far more Home Alone movies than I thought there were. Yeah.
You know what? I think I watched the first three. I know for sure the first two I watched more than once. But anyway, and then there's the Happy Holidays collection. There's live action holiday movies and specials, and that includes some Disney Plus originals. There's the animated holiday movies and shorts, the Simpsons Christmas ones.
Oh, there's some good Simpsons Christmas episodes.
Yeah, those are really good ones. Yeah. Disney Channel holiday favorites. One on there to make note of would be the Phineas and Ferb one on there. Yeah.
They're always fun.
Absolutely. Disney Junior holiday episodes if you got the kiddies around, and America's Funniest Home Videos holiday episodes.
Burning down trees and stuff,
exactly.
Probably. Yeah,
so that's
okay.
Quite a collection. There's also, after we do our ranking, there's a few other little shout outs I'm going to give for specifics, but let's get right into our ranking. So if you listen to our Halloween episode, This Is Halloween. I don't remember what number that was.
I don't know.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
Does not matter. We took a number of favorites on Disney Plus and we ranked them, and we didn't get to see each other's lists. We're doing the same thing.
How many was it? It was 10. We had 10.
We had 12 because we wanted to avoid the number 13.
Yeah. it's just bad.
It
luck.
Was.
Yeah.
It's 2020. We're not messing with that.
Yeah.
Maybe it would help actually. So we're actually going to go with 15.
Well, there is more Christmas movies than there are Halloween.
There
movies.
Are, and we had to narrow it down. There's a lot more on there than we're going to talk about, including some that I'm sure are people's favorites, but of course we're only going to talk about ones we've seen, and we're going to like stick to the main categories like you said.
Yeah.
All right, so before we get to the list, I want to do a very quick run through of all the movies that we're going to talk about.
Okay,
ready? Godmothered, Noel, Home Alone, Jingle All the Way, The Santa Claus, the first one, The Muppets Christmas Carol, The Search for Santa Paws, I'll Be Home for Christmas, Babes in Toyland, Miracle on 34th Street, both of them. So that's the one that you were talking about. We're going to talk about both. Nutcracker in the Four Realms, Disney's A Christmas Carol, Frozen, and Nightmare Before Christmas.
Whew, that's a lot of, a lot of Christmas movies.
We're talking 15, and in case you're wondering, Frozen is not in the whole collection, but we're going to include it because it is so wintry, and a lot of people
and
say
it took us to 15, which seemed like a good number.
Exactly. Yeah. We're going to stick to 15. Yeah. All right. Cool. You want to just start in on the ranking here?
Do you want to go first?
We'll go first. Yeah. Okay. So we're obviously going to count down to the favorite.
Yeah.
All right. So my number 15.
You count down. You don't count up.
Exactly. Be silly, that would be weird. My number 15 is The Search for Santa Paws.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's, this is the one that you were surprised is a theatrical release, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't remember if it actually is or not. It might have been like a limited.
Yeah.
Thing
well,
and not
probably.
To, yeah.
No, there is another on the list that I. That
oh,
I was
really?
Surprised.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. No, there's a couple that aren't theatrical releases now that I'm looking at the major releases. I should have said yes. Yeah. It's. I mean, there's little puppies running around, which is cute, and that's basically the selling feature for Santa Paws. I think I watched it last year while I was doing like a stack of marking or something, and that was
and the marking was more exciting.
The marking was more exciting. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know, maybe you've got little kids around who want to watch little puppies. That would be the way to go.
Yeah.
The coolest thing about Search for Santa Paws is Santa Paws 2 was filmed in your hometown.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Santa Paws 2 didn't make
the
list, though.
A lot of these cheap schmaltzy holiday films, they come up to Canada because it's cheaper to film here, so they can.
We've already got snow.
They can crank. Well, funnily enough, they actually filmed Santa Paws 2 in the summertime.
Yes.
And they had to truck in the snow. I don't know what the thought process was there.
You know,
but
plan a year in advance, people.
Very strange.
And the Christmas lights, they used, like, the Christmas lights that are always in the town. They just...
No, they bought some new
Did
ones.
Did they?
Yeah,
okay.
they bought new ones that they gave to the town to
Oh,
keep.
That's why. Yes. I was like, but I see them around.
But the downtown was decorated for Christmas in July.
Yeah, I remember. That was funny.
It was really strange.
So, yeah, I mean, it's cute, but it's definitely the bottom of the list for me. It's, you know, I don't ever need to see it again, but it's fine.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. It was Christmassy.
Yeah. So, I will go with my number 15.
But I know what it is.
We just had the pleasure of watching this for my first time. You said you vaguely remembered it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I had seen it, but it's possible I had seen the 80s version.
Yeah.
Which I still don't really remember, so I don't know. But Babes in Toyland from 1961.
Yeah.
They're trying to do like this whole like Wizard of Oz type of thing, but they have this weird focus because Laurel and Hardy are in it.
Yeah.
And they do some little sketches along the way. And the plot, there's no plot. Like, it makes no sense. And I was just confused and bored the whole time. And it was, it's a terrible movie. And there's barely a Christmas connection. Like, it's not even a Christmas movie.
Well, they go to the toy maker. And
they say they're going to make some toys for Christmas. And then Mary at the end is wearing a Santa Mrs. Claus dress. Anyway, stupid. Stupid, not really Christmassy. Thumbs down.
I'm going to, you know what? That may as well mention my number 14 is Babes in Toyland.
Yeah?
Yeah. Mm. I had them mixed up in my mind. The 1986 was a TV movie one.
Ah.
And I think I mushed them together in my mind, the 61 and the 86.
Well, this one, they seem to like mush some movies together too.
Yeah.
That like, yeah, no.
The best thing about it was Laurel and Hardy and the pussyfooting, they say, and the dancing around,
the evil villain who was actually played by the same guy that did Scarecrow in Wizard of Oz,
which made me enjoy him much more.
He was having fun, but it did not save the movie.
No, and you know what? It makes me sad because I actually really like the cheesy, you know, late 50s, early 60s Disney musical type things. And I love Annette. I love Annette, who's played Mary. It didn't fit. And like I said, you can have a movie with a very tenuous Christmas connection and I'll still enjoy it at Christmas time. One of my favorite movies is White Christmas. But
that has a much stronger Christmas connection than this did.
Well, yeah, but it's still not like a full... Some of these on this list are full-out Christmas, right?
Right.
Yeah, and this one, it just wasn't there. Yeah, no, and also kind of any kind of semblance I had towards it when Tom is singing to her about how she's just a doll, I was like, well, there goes my respect for this movie.
Did not age well.
That did not age well,
no.
So I think I'm going to need to watch the 86 one again to like figure out where my mind went with that.
I think you might have to count me out.
Okay, so that was my 14. So I'll go next. So my 13.
I have a 14 as well.
Oh, that's right. Babes in Toyland.
Yes. So my 14 movie is I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Really?
Okay, I haven't actually seen it, but a 90s movie with Jonathan Taylor Thomas starring.
Yeah.
I was almost certain that this was a directed video, but apparently it did have a theatrical release that went very, very, very badly.
Yeah.
No, I did see a positive on it. It's only 86 minutes long, so that's good. You're not tortured for too long. It was less than an hour and a half. That's nice. And it was also filmed in BC, Fort Langley.
Yeah.
That's kind
of
cool.
Yeah, that's cool. So you are aware, you've seen part of this movie.
I blocked it from my memory then.
Yeah, I was watching it like in the same room as you, and you kept looking at me like, what are you watching? What are you watching?
Okay. Okay.
That now, was your 14.
Yeah, that was my
14. Now it's my turn.
Now you're very excited for your 13 that you wanted to get to before.
I think you're going to be sad that I ranked Jingle All the Way as my 13.
Ah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The best part of Jingle All the Way was that on Conan?
Conan had a running gag.
Where he'd have like the weird, badly animated Arnold Schwarzenegger just starting his holiday classic.
Jingle All the Way! Yes.
Best part of that movie that movie.
Definitely. Okay.
And it's fun. It is cheesy. It is ridiculous. There's the reindeer Ted that's also the neighbor Ted is kind of like played by Phil Hartman is kind of funny and stuff. But it's Arnold Schwarzenegger not at his best and...
They were slapping Arnold and all sorts of things.
Oh,
back
yeah.
Then.
And hey, don't get me wrong. Kindergarten Cop is amazing. This one, it was fun and it's silly. It's fun to watch maybe if you had some friends together and were watching it as a drinking game.
Mm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Turbo Man, like that's just, it's like a meme of itself, basically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just a meme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was a little too old to appreciate it as a kid, and I was not old enough to appreciate it as a ridiculous thing. I think it just hit me wrong. It was fun. For Conan, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yep.
No.
What was your 13?
Well, my 13 is we're getting to the Santa Paws for me.
Mm-hmm.
Santa Paws, Santa Pups, whatever. I don't know. They have a whole series of them.
Yeah.
They are terrible. Not well written, but the dogs are cute.
The dogs are cute
when they're not doing the creepy CGI mouth
thing.
I wish they just had their thoughts like Homeward Bound.
Yeah,
that's better way to do animals.
Yeah,
talking.
Zoom in on the animal. You can tell us that one talking. You don't need to see its mouth move.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's how high that one went for me.
All right. What was your 12?
Jumping right into 12 for me. Hey, okay.
Well, unless you have more to say for 13.
No. No, I think that's about it. You said enough about them Santa Paws already.
Yeah.
Okay, so we just watched this one as well. It's more of a recent movie. It came out in 2018 to not much fanfare.
Yeah.
Was a big nothing.
Yeah.
It was a little better than I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But The Nutcracker and the Four Realms,
mm-hmm.
they make a whole movie kind of about a ballet, which is... an interesting idea, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
They throw some ballet in there, and I don't know. It's watchable. The girl in it does a pretty good job.
Yep.
Keira Knightley's doing something.
You know what? It seemed like she was just having fun with it, though.
Yeah,
which I liked.
She was doing something. Helen Mirren and Morgan Freeman were collecting paychecks.
Yep. Yep.
And
but okay, to be fair, anything Helen Mirren. And Morgan Freeman do is awesome. So they like showed up, they collected their paycheck, and they left.
Yeah, yeah. They clearly felt
them,
like
though.
They were just sitting there collecting
uh-huh.
their paycheck.
Uh-huh.
The mouse was cute though.
The mouse was cool.
I like the mouse.
Yeah, and I actually like what they did with all the like to make the mouse king.
Mm,
I like how they did that.
Yeah, fun.
Cool.
Okay,
right.
So you're number 12 then.
is the Nutcracker in the Four Realms.
Oh, we agree. Yeah, okay.
That was actually, I shifted it a little bit. But yes, that one was my number 12. I actually enjoyed it much more than I thought I was going to. But there's a section in here in the middle where I kind of just kind of shuffled them around, and I feel kind of the same about all of them.
Yeah, okay.
And this one just, it didn't have the personal connection with me that some of the other ones do. So it was fine. It was fun. I wouldn't be opposed to watching it again. I don't really need to ever watch it again.
No, and it could have used some better editing. They had some mushy bits in the middle. I don't know.
Yeah, a couple things it seemed like they wanted to do, and then they started to, and then they stopped, or they took it too far. Yeah, I agree. Different editing. I do really like a totally different retelling of a common Christmas story that isn't, you know, like A Christmas Carol we could have talked about 5 times on here. Everyone redoes that one. Very few people actually will do cinematic retellings of the Nutcracker. And this is a completely different version of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I like that.
Yeah, but, okay. Yeah.
So that takes us to 11.
Okay, do you want me to go for 11 first?
You know what? We were taking turns. I think it's just easier. Why don't you just go? Because otherwise I'm going to get lost.
Well, okay, so we've jumped around, but that's fine. So my 11, we're going to go with Jingle All the Way.
Oh, okay.
You're right. It's really bad.
Yeah.
But like in a funny kind of bad.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
So, I mean, if you watch it ironically and you go with 90s comedy, mm-hmm. Arnold, yeah, it's funny.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know what? Of the ones that we've mentioned so far that I've had on my list, it's the only one that I'm like, oh, I could totally watch that again and like have fun with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's mindless and silly and cheesy and lame, but funny.
But it knows it's cheesy and lame and ridiculous. Yeah.
But it is bad.
It's really bad. Yeah. So my 11 was, this is kind of tough one, the 1994 Miracle on 34th Street. Yeah, it is really low for an awesome classic Christmas movie. Quite frankly, there are two Miracle on 34th Streets on here.
Yeah.
And
no, I know.
Yeah, I can watch 1994 Miracle on 34th Street and be very, very happy. The little girl in it, I can't remember her name.
Mara Wilson.
Thank you. Anyway, she does a great job. I love her. I really, really, really like that movie. It's just not one of the ones that ranks higher. And there's some in the middle that are definitely worse, but they have like a nostalgia factor or something. And this one just, I liked it, but I don't like it as much as others.
You're fallen slave to the nostalgia
rather than Christmas time.
Your film critic side.
Yes, but it's Christmas time. Okay. So nostalgia plays a huge factor.
I guess.
You're talking to someone who ranked Halloween Town quite high.
It's true. You did. That's not a Christmas movie, though.
No, so. But when we were talking about it. Okay. So, yeah, it's tough, but it's just,
okay.
It is what it is.
Huh.
Yep.
So my number 10, and you might be appalled at this, but a lot of people, this might be one of their favorite Christmas movies.
Oh.
The Santa Claus.
Okay.
I like the concept, and it's probably the only movie you're going to get to watch where Santa gets offed. So that's kind of fun. I watched it again last year.
Yeah, we watched last year.
And I didn't age very well. And the pacing's kind of off. I would have liked to see more of him, like, adjusting to his weight gain and stuff like that. But they kind of rushed through that.
Yeah. They did it for laughs, but not for actual.
That's where most of the comedy would have come from, I think. And yeah, anyway. And I don't have the nostalgia. I was a little too old when it came out. It just didn't do anything for me.
Well, yeah, that's tough. That's going to be a lot of people's favorite Christmas movie.
I'm sure.
Not just favorite Disney Christmas movie. Just
I'm going to get angry letters for that one. But yeah,
you also put, you got angry messages about Hocus Pocus being as
that's
low.
That's true.
So this is going to be your version of that for Christmas.
Yeah.
All right. So my number 10 is I'll Be Home for Christmas. I was the perfect age for Jonathan Taylor Thomas in the 90s and loved him. I had like the Teen Beat poster up in my room and everything. Absolutely loved him. Funnier because I was connecting with Tim Allen and you had just put...
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, of course. And Jessica Biel is in it. It's very, very 90s. I rewatched it last year and actually was pleasantly surprised by how much I still enjoyed it. It's basically like a family... It's the same level as like a Hallmark Christmas movie. But like
more for kids.
More
than,
for kids.
Than
yeah.
Women with wine in their hands.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. I probably drank it with wine in my hands, though.
No. You drank it with wine in your hands.
Yeah, I did. Probably.
Excellent. Wonderful. Are you drinking it with wine in your hands right now?
No.
Oh, wait. But, no, you have peppermint vodka.
Yeah, peppermint vodka.
Okay. Makes sense.
It was warm, fuzzy, cheesy, but I liked it. I'll Be Home for Christmas. Makes me happy.
But not any higher than number 10.
Well, I still have to answer to my film critic side.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, that's as high as it could go.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep, and that's pretty high. That's like, we're getting in the middle of the pack here. Yeah. So, yeah. All right, number 9.
So, I actually like this movie quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It got overplayed in its day, which isn't that long ago. What? I think it was 2014 it came out? I don't remember.
Oh.
But, Frozen.
Okay.
The reason I'm putting it more in the lower half of the list-ish is it's not really a Christmas movie.
No.
So I'm docking it for that. And I guess it is a little overplayed. But I still really, I think it's a really good movie.
I think so too. Yeah, I think its biggest detriment is how popular it was.
Yeah, yeah, which is a silly thing to hold it against it, so.
And I'm going to get to it when I get to mine, but I love the Frozen shorts.
Yes, the shorts are very Christmassy.
Well,
and
the one specifically.
Yes.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
that Christmas special
Olaf's
one.
Frozen Adventure.
Yes, is very Christmassy, and yeah, it's wonderful. So
yeah.
Sit there and watch that one.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and we wouldn't have that if Frozen didn't exist. Mm-hmm. So. Okay, so number 9 for me is actually a movie I really enjoyed. Disney's A Christmas Carol, the one starring Jim Carrey. I really liked that one. The summer before it came out, we went down into the States with your parents, and it was in like July or something. It was summertime for sure.
Well, they had the big
train.
Yeah, it was a big tour on Amtrak, and they had a special train with like museum exhibits about the book, and they had a little pop-up theater where you could watch an extended trailer of it, and it was this whole big to-do. And it was like Christmas in July, and
it was super fun. I really enjoyed that, like memory and everything. A Christmas Carol has been done a lot. There are 3 different Disney versions. This one's my least favorite. I really liked what they did. I was super excited. I definitely would love to watch this one again. It was really fun to watch in theaters, actually. It was like really good for that. And its type of animation was great. Quite frankly, it just isn't as high on the list for me because of what it's being compared to with other things.
Yeah.
It was trying to be too serious in some parts and trying to be too funny in other parts. And it didn't quite fit. I do really like, I love the book, and I reread the book every 2 or 3 years at Christmas time. There are some elements that it is the only animated one for sure, and one of the only movies that take into account from the book, so I really like that. But other places, the pacing was off, and so that was my reasoning on that one. It was one of the ones that was in the middle, and I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's like a handful in the middle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So anyway, that was my number 9.
Okay. We're going to move on to number 8.
Yep.
Now I'm going to shock you. Maybe. I don't know. It's Nightmare Before Christmas.
No, it's not. I'm wearing a Nightmare Before Christmas sweater right now.
I know. But hear me out. Hear me out. It was our unanimous number 1 for Halloween.
I'm glaring at you right now.
But I obviously quite like this movie. And I will argue that it is also a Christmas movie. It's a Halloween movie first, but it's also a Christmas movie, but it's just not as much of a Christmas movie as the rest of the movies on this list. So I had to bring it down. She's glaring at me still. I'm getting the silent treatment.
Can't give you the silent treatment on a podcast. It doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work. It's the wrong medium for such a move.
Fine.
Okay.
Okay, fine. Obviously, I did not rate Nightmare Before Christmas that low.
Well, no, but you know what I'm saying.
I see what you're saying. Other ones are like full out Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. When I sit down and say these are the Christmas movies I want to watch every year, it's not.
Okay.
That's a Halloween movie for me.
Okay.
More so.
Sure.
Oh boy. I'm sleeping on the couch tonight.
That's fine.
Okay.
Moving on.
All right.
Yeah. Number 8 for me is the Santa Claus.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Basically for the same reasons you said. I really liked it. I watched it a lot. It was one of the ones that my family liked to watch every year. And so I have that. It, of course, had been a few years. Watched it last year and the same kind of thing. I was like, oh, this is not as fun as I remember. And it was, some parts were really fun and some parts were not. The pacing was wonky, basically.
Yeah, the pacing is wonky.
Yeah, but I really like the idea. I still have that connection of that nostalgia of watching it and everything. I think it is still super, super fun. It's just not as great.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's a middle of the pack one for me.
Okay.
Yeah. Number 7. See if I have to glare at you again.
No. I don't think you'll glare at me this one because you rated it lower. So,
oh, okay. All right.
The Disney's Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey. Like you say, Christmas Carol, that's a tough road to go down because it's well worn.
Yes, it is.
So you're getting compared to absolute classics.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, this one's fine.
Yeah, it was good. It was enjoyable.
Like you said, it's probably the closest to the book out of most of the versions that I've seen anyway. It brings in more pieces, and maybe that hurt it a little bit. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
And that motion capture animation style is just creepy to me. Like, the technology did improve. The other big Christmas movie that used that, Polar Express.
I liked Polar Express.
Was creepier.
It was, but I still
like it. I didn't like it, so the technology improved for this one, but it's still, not my thing. So, yeah, that's as high as this can go. I still like Christmas Carol, but...
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Number 7 for me.
Mm-hmm.
Another one I really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
Noel.
Oh.
Disney Plus one from last year. I really enjoyed it. It was better than I thought it was going to be.
Interesting.
Yeah. I just had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But
this low. So why this low?
Because of what else is on the list.
Okay.
That's it. I had my bottom ones I knew. I had my kind of like lower middle ones I knew. And then I had my upper middle ones I knew. And it was just shuffled in that one, compared to some of the other ones.
Okay.
I really liked it. You know what? Honestly, I think if I watch it again, it might improve its rank a little bit.
I think maybe you forgot. I think this might be a recency bias type of thing.
It might be. I watched it once. And I watched it last year.
Yeah,
and I
remember, when it first came out last
year.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I remember really enjoying it. But you might be totally right. We didn't get a chance to watch it again yet. And compared to the other ones, it doesn't have the connection, the nostalgia, or the classic factor. So yeah, that's pretty much why.
Okay.
I do love her in it. I love the concept and I love her outfits. I do remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was your number 7?
That was my number 7, so we're at number 6
Number
for you.
6 for me. So we're going for another Disney Plus original here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with Godmother.
Okay. Brand new.
It just came out like a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually surprised to see that it was on the Christmas section. Mm. I didn't know it was a Christmas movie when it was coming out. Like, I saw them advertising and stuff like that. And we just watched it on a whim, kind of something mindless. And it was way better than I was expecting.
Yeah, better than it had any right to be.
It was fun. Mm-hmm. But this is as high as I could put it, like you say. There's other stuff on this list.
Yeah, which is why it's also my number 6.
Nice.
Yep, I watch it. You know what? Even got a little misty eye there a couple times.
Well, I mean, you cry at, like, commercials and stuff.
I totally do.
That's not saying much.
But a Christmas movie for me has to, like, either make me super smile, warm fuzzies, or give me a little misty-eyed, or just, like, grinning ridiculously. Like, I've got to have an emotional reaction to a Christmas movie. And I did to this one, and that surprised me. When I saw the, like, little previews, trailers, things, and things like that, I was like, oh, that looks fun, but, like, meh. Yeah. Enjoyed it way more than I thought I was going to. Pretty much the same thing. I had Noelle and Godmothered were interchangeable for me on 7 and 6,
yeah.
Which tells me I should probably watch Noelle again.
I think so. I think you should.
And also, I love her in it. Like Anna Kendrick.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So maybe, but I just really enjoyed Godmother. I think
it was really good, and there were some, like, literally laugh out loud moments.
Yeah,
like, they had some really funny parts to it.
Yeah.
So
it was actually better than what the trailer led on.
Oh yeah, like they might have under advertised.
I think they did.
Whatever.
But anyway, so I enjoyed that one.
Okay.
And another cool concept.
Yeah. I like that kind of twist on things.
Yeah,
always.
I do too.
So
yeah.
Cool.
Cool. So at number 5 now.
Okay, so I'm going to finally come to the 1994 Miracle on 34th Street that you rank way down at the bottom.
I know.
You just crapped all over it.
I didn't.
You just gave it a big lump of coal for no reason.
It's good, though. I feel bad.
I mean, you got Richard Attenborough at his height of his Jurassic Parkiestness, jumping into the role of Santa Claus.
You have
Mara Wilson just being in the cutest little kid actor
is the cutest little kid actor.
Oh.
I will give you that for sure.
And you know what?
You know what? You want to talk about you want to start arguing with me about ranking things lowly?
Yeah, I do.
You rank Nightmare really low.
I explained that perfectly well.
Well, I explained Miracle on 34th Street
anyway,
perfectly well.
Mara Wilson is a really fun follow on Twitter these
She's
days.
An interesting lady.
She has got some interesting opinions, and she's pretty funny, and
very witty individual.
Yeah, interesting perspective growing up as a child actress, I suppose.
And a different, took a different route than a lot of child actresses do.
Yes, she's less messed up, I would say.
Yeah. Actually, we saw her at the Calgary Comic Con. She was there selling a book. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Had written a book and was signing autographs.
Didn't get to meet her, but we saw that she was there and stuff.
Yeah.
So she does that circuit too. Okay, so tell me about Miracle on 34th Street, the 94.
I just did.
Why is it as good as...
Well, I mean, Miracle on 34th Street's a great story.
Yeah.
And the people in it were good, and it's good. It's a remake, so it can't go any higher than that.
Okay. All right. My number five was Frozen.
Okay.
Okay. It is a good movie.
It is a good movie.
And
but
it's
this
wintry.
I will point out that this is a Christmas movie list.
Yes,
but,
it is quite wintry. So Noelle, Godmother, and Frozen switch places a lot.
You do know it takes place in the summertime.
I do, yes. In summer.
Yoo-hoo! Big summer blowout!
I do, but it's so wintry and it just seems so... And on my Disney Christmas playlist that I've been listening to like crazy, I think half the songs are either from Olaf's Frozen Adventure or Frozen, because I have Do You Want to Build a Snowman like four times on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know, I just like it.
Yeah.
It's when you don't want to get hit over the head with Christmas, which is weird for me because I want to get hit over the head with Christmas all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, it's such a good movie, I didn't feel right ranking it super low. But yeah, like I said, 7, 6, and 5 switch plots a lot for me.
Well, I'm looking forward to next year when we can take this movie off the list and add Die Hard, because that's a Fox movie.
That's right.
And it'll be on Star.
That's true. Yeah. We'll have to shuffle this around a little
bit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And hopefully they come up with a new Disney Plus original. They had Noelle, they had Godmother.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying Die Hard is more Christmassy than Frozen is. So.
That's fine. I'm not disagreeing with you on that at all. I think Die Hard is a Christmas movie. I also think something else is a Christmas movie.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Number three. No, four. Sorry.
Number four. Yes. Okay. I will go with Noelle.
Mm-hmm.
It's super cheesy and sappy, and I didn't even really want to watch it when we watched it last year. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is going to be dumb, but... Anna Kendrick has a lot of fun, and she's very Anna Kendrick-y.
It's true.
And like you say, she's got a lot of fun outfits.
Yeah.
And that little baby reindeer
is
fantastic little Disney sidekick.
That's true.
Absolutely adorable.
Yep.
That
is true.
So I kind of like that movie as a Christmas
fun
type of thing. So yeah, it hits number four for me.
I'm second guessing my ranking it as low as I did. It was really good. I forgot about the reindeer, actually.
Told you. Recency bias.
Recency. Okay. Well, we'll redo this next year, and we'll have to rewatch Noah first.
Okay, yeah.
My number four is Home Alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really liked Home Alone. That is a classic. It's not a must-watch every year for me, but it's a must-watch every couple years. It is one of those iconic Christmas movies. Macaulay Culkin is adorable. And you want to talk cute child actors?
He
was a cute child actor.
He did have cute on lockdown back then.
The funniest thing to me is Joe Pesci trying not to sound like Joe Pesci.
So, if you've ever seen Joe Pesci in any movie but Home Alone, he may have a little bit of a dirty mouth.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
He likes the F word.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much uses it as punctuation.
Yeah.
Commas, periods, exclamation marks.
Apostrophes.
Question marks.
Everything. Capitalization.
Him in a family movie...
It's ridiculous.
Trying not to swear. It's just, it is funny.
Yeah. If you have Netflix, actually, it's on The Movies That Made Us.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really interesting, just talking about them making it and just how they wanted to make this warm, fuzzy family movie, but they shot for the stars, basically, and it worked.
And it worked, No, that is a good documentary, and it kind of lets you know what a crazy set of circumstances led to the making
of
that movie.
Exactly, yeah. And I really enjoy it. It's... All the Christmas feels, you know. You've got some fantastic comic actors in there doing this family movie, and some who are Canadian even. And
I was going to mention that when I talk about it. Number three is for me Home Alone, because we have two more after that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might be a little overrated, but it's still a fun Christmassy movie.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, the Canada's own Catherine O'Hara brings a lot of heart as the mother in the movie, and the lovely little cameo by John Candy,
Polka Gang,
and that's actually an SCTV reunion between the two. Did you know that?
I did.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's how they got them in there.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really cool. And if you wanted to play a nice little drinking game with it, every time you see a poinsettia,
you might die.
You might die, but yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that one. It's a classic.
It definitely, yeah.
Okay, so that was your number three. My number three is... My number two and three were pretty much tied.
Yeah,
so it was really tough. I actually switched after we started recording this. I switched my number 3 to Nightmare Before Christmas.
Okay.
Yep. It was ranked at number 2 for me before. It is one of my favorite movies of all time. And I think you can watch it every month of the year, but you can basically watch it September through Christmas for sure. I do get more Halloweenish vibes from it, though, and quite frankly, I've probably watched it a couple times by the time Christmas rolls around. So if I'm like going to sit down and I'm like, oh, I want to watch a Christmas movie, I don't know that Nightmare would be the first one I'd pick.
Yeah.
And I think that's why. However, it's just like an amazing movie, and it's one of my favorite movies of all time. Not favorite animated movies, not favorite Disney movies, just favorite movies of all time. It's probably my top 5 list. Yeah. So it's just really, really good. It's just up against the other things that were in my top 3. So
right. That's yeah, I don't know. I did have to rank it lower, like I said.
That's as low as it was going to go for me.
It's just Christmas isn't the main thrust of it.
Third word in the title.
It is, yeah. That's why I would argue it is still a Christmas movie, but I don't know. It's just a long list, right?
No, it's a long list, and it's just up against the other. My top one was obvious, and my 2 and 3, like my top 3 were really obvious. It's just what it was up against, really, quite frankly. What about your number 2?
So my number 2 is the original Miracle on 34th Street. I didn't actually watch this a lot, or I don't remember seeing it when I was younger. We watched it several years ago for the first time together. And I was just blown away at what an awesome movie it is. It's just really well put together. Everybody in it just brings all the Christmas feels, and it's wonderful. Like, if you've never seen it, if you've only grown up with the 1994 version,
right,
you go check this one out, and if the black and white scares you, just let it go.
That's a different movie.
Okay. go watch it. It is really, really good.
Yep. It's also my number 2.
I kind of gathered. Yeah. I think we're gonna agree on the next one too, because that's the only one
movie left. It is really, really good. When I was younger, I watched the 90s version obviously more, but I had seen the 47 one before. It's a classic, and a lot of those times, you know, they don't age very well, those old movies and things like that. This one really, really did. And like between the two, I had to rank this one considerably higher than the other one, not through any fault of the 94 one, just this is the original, and it did it really well.
Yes.
The 94 one wasn't trying to fix the 47 one. The 94 one was trying to pay homage to the 47
well
one,
it was just,
it was really good.
It was basically trying to remake it, like, shot for shot almost, just with color.
Exactly. Well, and that was it. It was pretty much a remake shot for shot. And it was, it was really good. I really, really like it. There's nothing bad to say about it whatsoever. I changed back and forth with Nightmare quite a bit, though.
Right. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
I've seen Nightmare Before Christmas many, many, many more times, but it's just, this is a classic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And very Christmassy.
Super Christmassy. It's like, I can't think of a Christmassier movie. I know It's a Wonderful Life is the standard.
Well, you see, the funny thing about It's a Wonderful Life is it has a more tenuous connection to Christmas than a lot of movies.
Well, Miracle on 34th Street is definitely more Christmassy than It's a Wonderful Life.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Which brings us to number 1.
Number 1. Mm-hmm. And again, in our rankings, we are going to agree on number 1.
Yes, we are, apparently.
Apparently. Mm-hmm. The Muppets Christmas Carol.
The Muppets Christmas Carol. Yep.
So for me, this is the only one on the list that is a must watch every year.
I agree.
So this was an easy number 1.
Totally.
We talked about how Christmas Carol is so well worn and retold and retold. And I think the addition of the Muppets here helped them stand out and differentiate and allow it to be something more.
Yeah.
And Michael Caine.
Oh, he's perfect Scrooge.
He's the perfect Scrooge, and he embraces it. And, like, plays it completely straight, even though he's surrounded by talking puppets.
Yeah, exactly.
And it just works so, so well.
Yep. This is also the last one that Jim Henson worked on himself. It was almost my trivia, but it isn't. Do you know what the last song that he wrote was? One More Sleep Till Christmas.
Right.
Yes. And so, I mean, there's that heart to it there that I think just, like, he was the heart behind the Muppets, and you know, they still are awesome. I still love the Muppets now, but that is quintessential perfect Muppetdom.
Yeah. No, I I would say it's probably the best Muppet movie, period.
I agree. And that includes, like, I love the Muppet movie, and I love Muppets Take Manhattan. I love Muppet Caper. Like, I love the originals. Mm-hmm. But I think Muppets Christmas Carol is the best one for me. I actually like Muppet Treasure Island, too.
But it just works because it's not about the Muppets, like, trying to save their theater or something, which they have retold several times. Mm-hmm. But it's where they take a well-known story and Muppify it, and it just works perfectly.
And Gonzo as Charles Dickens is amazing.
Yes.
Just, it's really good. It's really fun. I think the reason it works is it is the perfect mix of A Christmas Carol, but also Muppets.
Yeah.
Like, it isn't all Muppets. Kind of like how they did with Wizard of Oz, where it just became a Muppet show.
Ooh.
Yeah, it didn't quite work. But this one was like, this was a perfect mix. It was probably really hard to do.
Yeah.
How do you do a scary thing with, like, talking puppets, but they do it?
Yeah.
It is really good.
No,
I
really
love
good.
Statler and Waldorf versus Marley and Marley.
Mm-hmm.
The casting choices were fantastic. And yes, there's one Scrooge in my world, and it is Michael Caine. So no, that one was a win for me. Also, Miss Piggy being Mrs. Cratchit is amazing. That was fantastic.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's really good.
It's really tough, but it's probably my favorite Christmas movie.
Yeah, it's right up there for me as well.
It's definitely in like top two or three, but it might be my favorite.
Right.
Yeah.
But definitely your Disney favorite.
100% my Disney favorite.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just before we move on to trivia, there's a couple special mentions that are also on Disney Plus that are very Christmassy that I wanted to point out. They have the Arendelle Castle Yule Log. So if you want to put a Yule Log up there, that's a good Disney one.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's
fun.
And
do they, like, play some Nordic music or just, like, tunes of...
I haven't watched it.
Oh, you haven't watched it? Interesting.
Yeah, I just know it's up there and it was on my recommended list. So.
Does Olaf come along and poke,
I think he might.
Poke it with a fire? His, like,
you gotta
little
be
poker?
Careful.
Yeah, he's got to be careful. Well, I don't know. Yeah. He likes warm things.
That's true.
Ooh.
So that one's fun. I like having the TV fireplace on. I'll often have the TV fireplace on and the actual fireplace on at the same time.
Yeah.
And so I think that was fun. There's some shorts I really want to mention.
Mm-hmm.
One, which is, if I was going to recommend, like, just a handful, throw Pluto's Christmas Tree on there. That is a really good one.
I don't know if I remember that.
I think you would. If you watch it, you'd be like, oh.
Yeah.
It's the one where Mickey and Pluto go get their Christmas tree, and they bring it in, and Chip and Dale are in the tree, and they're causing all kinds of havoc on poor Pluto. It's
Dale,
a good one. It's a classic
one.
And at the end, you have the rest of the characters caroling. It's very sweet. Then, of course, the other big one is Mickey's Christmas Carol. That is an amazing retelling of A Christmas Carol. It is, like, they do it really, really well. It has heart. It's short.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't make our big list, because we were going for features.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a short, but it is really, really good. Kind of love Goofy as Marley.
Yeah.
That's fun.
That's really good. And they had, of course, a built-in Scrooge all ready to go.
Yeah, dude, didn't even have to change his name.
Nope.
I really like watching it, noticing all of the older characters, like characters from older movies. They have a lot of characters from Wind in the Willows, for example. They had characters from, like, Robin Hood and things like that. And so that one was a lot of fun.
Three Little Pigs.
Three Little Pigs. Yeah, Three Little Pigs are singing carols with the wolf.
It's
Christmas.
They sorted out their differences for Christmas time. Exactly.
Yeah. When we were talking about the 40s, we talked about On Ice. It's not a Christmas movie, but it is very wintry. And if you watch a lot of, like, montages of Disney Christmas things, scenes from it do get shown in there.
Yeah, I mean, they're ice skating and whatnot.
And then one of the Silly Symphonies was Santa's Workshop, we also talked about in the 30s discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And that one was the last one that Walt Disney did himself.
Right.
Right? And he did not like it.
Yes.
Apparently, in Sweden and Norway, there's this Christmas television special that is, like, quintessential Christmas. Like, basically, all the countries watch it. And it's called From All of Us to All of You. It's traditionally shown on TV at Christmas Eve, and they actually have Santa's Workshop in there, but they've made changes. they brought it up to date.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there was also a sequel to that called The Night Before Christmas, which is up as well. The big shorts on there that I would recommend is Olaf's Frozen Adventure is very Christmassy.
Yes.
And has some great music.
Well, it takes place at Christmas, and there's a really fun song.
Yeah, it's good. Olaf is, like, shocked at all Christmas traditions.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, when you think about it.
Well, he was born yesterday.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. But, I mean, if you think about it, a lot of the Christmas traditions, when he thinks about them, are, like, you know, breaking and entering is okay on Christmas.
Yep.
And you hang your socks by an open fire. Well, that seems safe. Like,
he's got a point.
Yeah, he's got a point. Other ones to recommend. Oh, and then Once Upon a Snowman is on there as well. The small one, if you're looking for something with a little bit more of a religious tone, is from the perspective of the donkey that is part of the nativity story.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I remember watching it a lot as a kid. It was on TV about the same time like Charlie Brown and stuff like that would be on, and then it kind of didn't last as long. Like, it's not still really shown as much, but that's a good classic one. Winnie the Pooh, Very Merry Pooh Year came out in 2002 as a direct-to-video.
That's the one
I was watching.
Yeah,
it was
that
adorable.
Cute.
I loved it. It was high. I almost put it on the list, but it was like, it's a little short for
right.
a feature.
And it was direct-to-video.
Yeah. But I highly recommend it. That one was a really, really good one.
Yeah, it was cute.
Yeah,
especially if you like Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, yeah. But and that
you
one
should
was,
like Winnie the Pooh.
Totally. So. This one was good. It actually incorporated an older cartoon into it. So this was very Winnie the Pooh. And yeah, I really loved it. Speaking of really good shorts on there, Disney Prep and Landing.
Yeah.
Just watched that.
Yeah. First time, hadn't seen it before.
Yeah, that was the palate cleanser after Babes in Toyland.
Yes. It brought it up. It's short, and, but it's cute and like the high concept, how Santa gets his job done in the modern age is interesting.
Yeah. Other ones on there, Disney's Beauty and the Beast, The Enchanted Christmas from 1997. I liked this one because it is Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, I like Beauty and the Beast. That doesn't mean I have to like this.
No, I enjoy it. I like the song As Long as There's Christmas. I like that it's another, you know, step into this world. I like the fact that Tim Curry does a voice in it. It is direct-to-video. It is a lot of people who, like, were the right age when that came out. Really enjoy it. It is, yeah, it's an animated sequel. It's about what you'd expect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not fantastic, but it is a lot of fun and I really like it. Also, While You Were Sleeping is up on that list.
You wanted to put it in our rankings.
I almost did, because it does take place at Christmas. It is a super 90s chick flick. Sandra Bullock at her finest.
Yeah,
Bill Pullman. I
vetoed it because...
You did. Yeah. I really, really like that movie. It was when I was younger. It was always like one of my feel-good, like warm, fuzzy type movies.
Yeah.
And it does take place at Christmas. The Christmas connection is quite tenuous.
Right.
More so than some of these other ones. I mean, Frozen's not a Christmas movie at all. But this one, yeah, it didn't make the... onto the list, but I do recommend that one. And Decorating Disney Holiday Magic is like a little mini documentary thing that's up. I don't know, did you watch that one? I know I did.
No,
but it's all about how Disney decorates the Disney parks in like one night.
Oh,
it's pretty cool.
That is kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And they kind of do like Disneyland on one side and Disney World, and they go back and forth, and you just get to see them decorate.
That is a lot of work that they go through.
Yeah, and it's if you are missing the Disney parks, that might be a nice one to watch. And then they also have the Disney sing-alongs and holiday specials on there. I really like some of the old VHS Disney sing-alongs, so I enjoy seeing these specials as well.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you should watch that Decorating the
Maybe
Parks.
Maybe I will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything to add for Disney Plus in Christmas time?
No, I think that pretty much covers it. There's a whole lot of Christmas content
there's
on Disney
Plus.
There's
a lot more that we're not talking about.
So if you're not going anywhere... this year, you might have some time to catch some good holiday films on Disney Plus.
Yeah. And the other one we watched was some of the Simpsons Christmas ones.
Yeah. The Simpsons, there's a whole bunch, including, apparently it's season one, episode one is the first Christmas episode. And it is interesting to see Simpsons that old. The animation's all kind of wonky.
Yeah,
it's fun. So.
Yeah, no, it's a fun watch, that's for sure. So that brings us to trivia. It's my turn, but I've got to hear what I've got wrong first from the
last
few.
Let's do a review. So I got to look up what I asked you.
Evil questions.
So the first question I asked you, what was the most popular streaming, because we were talking about all the streaming news, what was the most popular streaming show that week?
The number one streaming this last week.
Yeah.
Schitt's Creek.
Interesting.
I think I was wrong.
You were, but you know, you weren't that far off because Schitt's Creek was fourth.
Okay. Well, that's not embarrassing, at least.
Yeah. Number three was The Mandalorian.
Which was what I first thought, but then I second guessed. Yeah,
the only Disney Plus
yep.
show
yep.
and the only non-Netflix show.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have Netflix, so
yeah.
Number one was Queen's Gambit,
right? And I knew that would have been in the top, but I didn't think it was number one. I just thought it was too new.
It had been out for a little while, like a couple weeks
yeah.
already. So, but yeah, it's hit its kind of critical mass and right. a lot of streaming hours because there's 7 episodes or something like mm-hmm. that. And then, funnily enough, number two was The Office.
Yeah.
People still watch.
That surprised me.
People still watch that all the time.
Yeah, I watch and rewatch. And rewatch.
Yeah.
Well, that's like I know Friends hit like in the top.
Oh yeah, Friends is
earlier.
Another one. They
probably at the beginning of quarantine, quite frankly.
They watch it a lot. So yeah, streaming's big business is
yeah.
basically what I was getting at there.
Right.
And that's why Disney is going
doing all the streaming
so much towards the streaming
mm-hmm.
for Star Wars and Marvel and everything. So that's cool. We were also talking about the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked you, what is Lumpy's full name?
It's like Lumpaloo or something. No, that's not it. But I don't know.
No. You were kind of close, actually, with your...
Yeah, I knew it was something ridiculous.
Yeah, it is something ridiculous. It's Lumpawaroo. Yeah.
You know, I was pretty close.
You were pretty close.
I guess...
Yeah. I'll give you like half a point for that one. that was just kind of random and silly.
Mm-hmm.
Just to show you how silly that Star Wars Holiday
yeah.
Special really, really was.
That's fair. Ridiculous.
And then I awkwardly tried to ask you about the connection to another property's holiday special to
yeah.
to the Star Wars Holiday Special
mm-hmm.
and.
I have no idea. I'm going to go Muppets Christmas Carol, I guess.
Okay.
Because that's the one that came out after.
So, the creators of South Park.
Right.
They're big fans of Star Wars in general. And when they were writing their first, well, it wasn't their first Christmas. It was their second Christmas
mm-hmm.
special. They wanted to pay homage to the Star Wars Holiday Special. And there's actually a famous bootleg copy from a CBS affiliate where the newscaster breaks in at commercials saying, "Fighting the Frizzies at 11. And we assume that it's something to do with hair care or
yeah.
something like that. But if you watch the Mr. Hankey's Christmas Poo special, South Park, maybe not with your kids.
No. that's an adult
it's,
one.
It's very cute, but they do that as well. And it's funny. It's a nice little nod to that. Yeah, I actually didn't know that either. And I'm like, oh, it all makes sense now.
Yeah, well, I do know they have the Star Wars design logo.
Yeah, they have a logo and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's South Park is the answer there.
That is surprising.
Yeah.
And it makes sense, though. Yeah, you're saying it. Okay. Well, those questions were evil.
Yeah, they weren't very nice.
Just wait for it.
That's Hamilton.
Oh, that's right, man. We did that one. We did that episode already. Okay, so question number one. In Beauty and the Beast and the Enchanted Christmas.
Oh, yeah. One of my all-time favorites.
All of these have to do with Disney Christmas movies, by the way.
Okay, good.
So in that one, Tim Curry voices a character. We established that.
Uh-huh.
What's his name? The character's name?
I don't know.
Make a guess?
Frank.
That was a different Tim Curry
movie. I know.
Okay. Frank, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Question two. So, in Winnie the Pooh, A Very Merry Pooh Year.
Yes.
They all write a Christmas letter to Santa.
Oh.
What happens to that letter?
It gets blown away or something. They lose it somehow because I know Pooh has to, like, try and salvage it or something. I don't know. Something bad happens to it. Let's say it gets blown away into the 100-acre wood. Never to be seen again, except for when Christopher Robin finds it.
That was very dramatic. Of
yeah, I don't know. I was only half watching it when you watched it. And,
okay.
Yeah, okay.
Blown away, never to be seen again.
Yeah.
Okay. Number three. In Mickey's Christmas Carol, which we just watched, you should get this one right.
Okay.
What are the names of the two characters who are collecting for the poor?
Oh. I don't know. So they look like Sherlock and Watson. And
well, you mean Basil and...
Basil yeah, and... Dawson. Dawson, yes. I think they were heavily influencing on The Great Mouse Detective, because we'd have to look up at the release date of Mickey's Christmas Carol, but it might be from the same similar time period. I don't know.
Mickey's Christmas Carol came out in 1983.
Ah.
That's so, much later than I thought, actually.
Yeah, so same time period.
And Great Mouse Detective was 1986. Mm-hmm. And Wind in the Willows, which is the movie those two characters are from, 1949.
Right. So they had some throwbacks in that little short.
Sure did. Yeah. Okay, so... What do you think these guys' names are?
Jim and Steve.
Okay, so you've got Frank, the wind blowing it away, and then Jim and Steve.
Yeah, how am I supposed to know what their names are? I don't know. I can tell you what they're wearing.
Okay. And okay, if you think maybe Brandon might not be right.
Yes, please help me. I'm calling in a lifeline. Help me.
Feel free to contact us on social media and we can laugh, I mean, agree or disagree at Brandon together.
Well, I think that probably does it for the show today.
I think so. It's a lot of Christmassy happiness.
Yeah. You all done your hot chocolate? Okay, so we can wrap it up then.
Yeah, I finished my hot chocolate. We're good.
So thanks to El Mule, who's responsible for our awesome custom theme music that you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work at our website, disneya.wixsite.com/podcast. And you can also find us on social media, Instagram at disneya.podcast, on Facebook at disneya, and Twitter at disneyapodcast. You can find Disney A episodes on your favorite streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and many more.
All the podcasts.
Please review our podcast where you can and subscribe. If you know somebody else who might like to listen to us, feel free, and we encourage you to recommend us. Join us every Monday, including next week. That's going to be like holiday smack dab in the middle of the holidays.
Yeah, you're sitting around.
We might be in a bit of a turkey coma, but
that's all right.
That'll be okay. And we're closing out 2020 with another Disney Plus and Chill episode. This time, we're going to talk all about the Disney live-action remakes.
Which means we've got some Disney live-action remake watching to do.
Yes.
Well, probably while we're in that turkey coma.
Yeah, we have seen precious few of them.
Yeah.
So it's going to be
some cramming going on.
Fun exploration.
Absolutely. That was kind of the idea. We figured while we're sitting around eating leftovers, let's watch some live remakes.
Yes. So I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista. And until the next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney AM.